He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the May 25th live edition. It's the midweek version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And here we go again in the markets. We've got right now kind of a quiet day. The futures were down all morning. Then the market opened up. There will be the Fed notes coming out later today. We'll see if they are a sour note or a happy note. I think the market's probably going to go into hold mode until they come out. The Dow right now is basically flat, 31,931. The S&P 500 looking pretty flat, too, up a couple of points to 3944. The NASDAQ, wow, they're just waiting out the Fed today. I think I'll take the morning off.
Another flat.
The NASDAQ is down 1 point to 11,261. I did notice some strength in the oil and gas patch, especially the natural gas arena. We'll get to that in a bit. The small caps are up a little bit. Crude oil, there seems to be no hope there for any relief after a couple of news items there yesterday. Crude oil is up. It's at 110.73 today. Gold is down $17, although I have noticed that the dollar is starting to weaken a little. Gold's at 18.43. Silver is flat, 21.80. I'm looking for something that's moving today. The 10-year is down 6 basis points, 2.75. And Bitcoin, the controversial Bitcoin, which Buffett loves, or Buffett hates, and Kevin O'Leary loves, Bitcoin's up 728 to 29,712. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a new article out there on the street today at Seeking Alpha. You can check that out. That's our macro forecast and just kind of taking a look at where the analysts are now, where the consensus is right now, where the target prices are right now for the S&P 500, and where we are at right now. And as usual, Barry, we're just a little bit different from the rest. We usually have a bit of a contrarian opinion on the markets, and we try to stay on top of it. We don't have a sleepy, bureaucratic, non-nimble kind of system here. We're very nimble. We can move very, very quickly. And so you can check out that article at seekingalpha.com. Just type in.
Trending on the front page.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow,
it's up,
finally. I was looking this morning and I see, like, you know, these articles trending. I'm going, why is that trending? Why is this trending? You know, anyways, hey. We do get a little respect here at Gunderson Capital Management. I tried to mention in the article that we're in the top 2% of 11,000 writers out there on Seeking Alpha, and they always come down on me for that and don't allow it. They consider Tip Ranks to be a competitor, Barry. And I say, well, there ought to be some way that you guys rate your writers. I really don't want to read a guy's article if he's ranked number 9,000 out of 11,000 and has a terrible track record. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, they rank stocks, so you think they could easily rank.
Voice there at Seeking Alpha. I mean, there's not that many subscription writers like myself and us. And they are going to explore that, and our editor is going to take it to the top management there. And, you know, it's just not right to treat us all exactly the same. That's always kind of been my beef with them. You know, we used to submit articles, and they treated us like some guy off the street that's just writing an article for his first time, you know. I've had a few, not altercations, but I've had some disagreements with them over the years. They've been a lot better lately.
A healthy debate.
Yeah, I think they're hurting for articles, especially in a market that goes down almost every day. So we'll see. But I would like to see some way where we receive recognition from Seeking Alpha for the quality and the results of our work. I mean, that's only fair. Well, okay, yesterday, the market was down pretty sharply yesterday. It was pretty much Snap and Abercrombie and Fitch. But the Dow did end up, by the end of the day, it was up about 50 points. The NASDAQ, however, took it on the chin, down 271 points yesterday. The social media stocks. You know, there's just nowhere to hide in that NASDAQ. Barry, the software stocks have been getting clobbered. The cybersecurity stocks have been getting clobbered. The semiconductor stocks, the FANG stocks, the online retailers, the work-from-home stocks. There's really no strength at all in the NASDAQ, and it just continues to ratchet lower. ARK was down another 7% yesterday. I mean, it's just incredible, the total meltdown there. And so, you know, we have very little exposure to the NASDAQ, which continues to come under heavy pressure. Maybe not, maybe it doesn't deserve to be beaten up as much as it continues to be beaten up. But suffice it to say, it continues to get beaten up.
Well,
tonight,
those top names make up so much of that index.
Yeah, Microsoft,
right?
So Facebook.
Right. So if you're selling QQQ, for example, right? I mean, you know, a good portion of one of those sales, right, is, you know, a Google, Microsoft, an Apple, right, are getting kind of thrown out with the remainder of those. And I'd like to see a breakdown of, you know, if someone's selling Apple individually, right, or if someone's selling it as, say, part of an ETF. But I think that data would be interesting to look at.
And, you know, Apple continues to look terrible. The chart is terrible. Tesla's chart is terrible. It used to be that, you know, no matter, there was always, you could always hide out in Tesla and Apple. And Microsoft, but, you know, even those stocks are very, very weak right now. So it's a challenging to be a tech if you continue to be a tech investor. It's very, very challenging. Well, the story of the day yesterday, like I said, was Snap and Abercrombie & Fitch. Today, there's another casualty, and it's kind of that same old story, Dick's Sporting Goods. So here's what I'm noticing. If you look over the last 90 days at Dick's Sporting Goods or Target at Walmart, they all came in and beat estimates. But that's the past, okay? Beating estimates and beating revenues is the past. Dick's beat earnings by 32 cents. Their revenues beat by 70 million. It's the forward guidance that we have always pounded the table on. The market looks forward. The market looks ahead. And most individual investors are looking at today's action in the market, yesterday's action in the market, tomorrow's action in the market. The market's looking ahead a year or two. And that's why that article that I wrote is so important, because it looks ahead a year or two. And that's what the market is looking at. The market is way out in front of the individual investor. You have to look down the road. I mean, it's like a pool shark. You know, that pool shark is looking 10 shots ahead. He's looking at the current shot, yes, but he's looking at 10 shots ahead. And the market is especially good at that. The bond market, the gold market, the dollar, the stock market indexes. So Dick's Sporting Goods came in with a good report, but, man, they really guided lower and gave a pretty sour forecast. Dick's is down, it's only down 2% right now on 57 times normal volume. But was, I think Dix was citing, they're pleased with their first quarter results. Okay, that's how they always start off. But then they gave a dire forecast for full year sales. And I'm trying to find ballooning inventories have been a significant concern for numerous retailers. Margins are already squeezed by supply chain and inflation problems. And they're seeing the same things at Dick's. You know, these are low-margin companies to begin with. They're competing with Amazon and the online retailers that have very skinny margins. These guys are trying to pay all their overhead and the rent on their bricks and mortar and still squeak out a profit. And it's getting tougher and tougher all the time. All right, we'll be back. A lot of news in the oil and energy sector of the market here in the last couple of days. We want to talk about that some more. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm seeing a few more victims here of the retail onslaught, the consumer onslaught, the consumer stocks. We've avoided the consumer side. We did own, I did own Dick's Sporting Goods at one point because they kind of had a monopoly there, but and the stay-at-home thing was benefiting them, and we also owned Academy Sports for a while. We haven't owned them for quite some time. But that's a tough environment right now. Inflation. Urban Outfitters record sales overshadowed by, guess what? Inflation and inventory concerns. Urban right now is down. Well, it's up. It turned around. But they're citing the same issues, the slowing sales. Inflated inventory figures, ongoing global supply chain constraints, and inflation. Now, the one that surprised to the upside is Nordstrom's. Okay, that's my that's my indicator, Barry, of the economy might be a little overheated when Nordstrom's. You know, the high-end stuff is really doing well. There's a lot of money sloshing around out there, and that's causing inflation. But it's getting tougher and tougher, so we'll see if Nordstrom's can keep up that those good earnings. They came in and beat. They're actually up 11% today, but that stock has really been going nowhere.
And it's great. I think it's a great kind of what you mentioned in the article in terms of, you know, expectations, right? It's what's, you know, looking at things on a go-forward basis. I mean, if you took Abercrombie, right, and looked at its, you know, sales in terms of, you know, historical, right? I mean, they actually had one of their best sales years that they've had in a while. But going forward, right, that's they see headwinds, and that's really what the market trades on is expectations.
Yeah, and you know, I noticed that the earnings season was good for about earnings season is generally about 6 weeks or so, and the first 4 or 5 weeks were really good, but the last couple of weeks, which reflects more of what's happening now as opposed to what was happening in January, those earnings weren't so good. We've definitely got a downwards drift in guidance that we didn't have before. These companies citing inflation and continued supply chain problems. And, of course, China still has major lockdowns in Beijing. They're not helping any. Now, here's the story that this concerns me also. In addition to the inflation, you have the least affordable housing market in 40 years. You've got interest rates going up over 5%, and all of a sudden the boom in the housing market is reversing quickly. and is likely further to fall. New home sales sank 17% to 591,000. And there's a lot of big analysts out there comparing kind of where we're at in the housing market now to 2008, you know, when the whole housing market came crashing down and it caused the big financial crisis because of all the bad loans that were now on the books. Do you think some of these folks bought too much house, you know, when the prices were high?
I mean, I think it's a bit different from the standpoint of, you know, back then you had, you know, folks weren't, you know, folks owning, you know, three homes, right, versus one home was a big problem. And of course you had the old ninja loans, right, where you know, no one lending standards have certainly increased since then. And the other thing is, I think financial buyers, I mean, I saw a note where 20%, I believe, of homes purchased last year were from institutions. So those institutions, you know, typically have a longer time horizon. You know, they've got a specific purpose for owning those particular homes. So, you know, in my mind, you would have a healthier market than 08 from a housing perspective, but certainly there's, you know, prices got out of whack, certainly on new construction because of all the input cost. I mean, look where lumber was, you know, for those homes that were built in, say, the last year versus, you know, where lumber is now. I think lumber's down, you know, close to 40% this year. So,
yeah, and you go to some of these cities like my hometown of San Diego, the average home price is now $1 million. I mean, that's ridiculous. How many people can afford to buy a $1 million home? Now, with interest rates at 5%, I think there's going to be a big adjustment in the housing market. So we shall see. And you're getting that wealth effect. You know, all the people that were making money in Bitcoin and in stay-at-home stocks and in ARC funds and in Teladoc, now it's even spreading to the rest of the market. That wealth effect is real. You know, when people open up their 401k statements or their IRAs, they kind of gauge their buying. They can either be gleeful or quite careful. I think people are being more careful now. Falling sales, rising prices as the housing market showing signs of 2008. The median sales price across the country is $450,000. I think gas hit an all-time high, or didn't it? Yesterday, $457 nationwide, $457.
Yeah, and the difference between I think California gas and the rest of the average U.S. gas price, I think, has widened. I think to the largest it's been ever. Actually, so
yeah, it's so there's a lot of things going in the wrong direction right now. Well, it will be interesting to watch NVIDIA. Okay, of all the tech, of the semiconductor stocks, they are definitely a poster child of high tech, and they'll be reporting. They always report kind of at the end of the quarter. NVIDIA right now has a PE ratio of 36. A relative strength of 27, 75% of the stocks out there are doing better, performing better than NVIDIA, and it's not a very good chart. This stock was 346 back in November, and now it's 166. So all your NVIDIA millionaires are not millionaires anymore. You can't afford to buy those new homes. So we'll see what happens when NVIDIA reports. And then I said a little earlier that the Fed report the minutes. That's all the stuff he doesn't say in the press conference. It's hidden. It's the devil's in the details. And, you know, these analysts from Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley, they go through that with a fine-tooth comb, looking for any signs whatsoever of what the Fed is going to do next, where the weakness is, where the strength is, what they see going forward. So fasten your seatbelts. It could get a little wild. Maybe during the break here, Barry, find out when that Bates Book report comes out. Probably, it's usually around 10 or 11, I think. I don't know. When we come back, I want to talk about commodities, especially oil and gas. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the cat is out of the bag, it would seem, in the oil and gas patch. We talked yesterday about the International Energy Agency warning companies, gas and oil companies, and countries, not to spend any new money on increasing production, on infrastructure, on CapEx spending. And I saw a graph of how far behind the curve that we are on CapEx spending. And, you know, I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's a war on fossil fuels, okay? And the dirty little secret is it's an intentional war to drive prices higher. I mean, Biden, they're trying to clean it up at the White House once again, the mess that he made over in Japan, but he told the reporter, he says, look, we're going through a big transition from fossil fuels to green energy, and it's necessarily prices are going to go higher. Well, Barry, you know, that's, we talk about this bridge. Is it a bridge too far? This bridge from fossil fuels to renewable energy, I can't run out and buy an electric car tomorrow. You know, Hertz is still waiting, aren't they, to get their 100,000 cars right, that they ordered from Tesla?
Yep.
We don't have the car. So the choice is, according to the International Energy Agency, is, look, you can bite the bullet and pay these high prices at the gas pump, or you can continue to, or you can drill and bring prices down, and then you're at risk of climate catastrophe. Okay, that's basically the choice that they're giving us from the International Energy Agency and really from the current administration. So, you know, we'll have to see which one speaks louder. The gas prices at the pump. Now, my little friend, he's a fishing guide. He's probably the top guide in Charleston. If you're coming to Charleston, look up Robert Olson. Not at work. K-N-O-T. Not at work. He reports on Facebook every day. And he was crying the blues last week or 2 weeks ago about the cost, the fuel cost, and everything else involved in his business. Barry, he's out every day, and this is prime fishing time. He hasn't put up a report for a week. I got to believe there's demand destruction. You know, when it goes from $900 for a day of fishing to $1,200 for a day of fishing, well, the fish market's a hell of a lot cheaper to buy the fish
right
than $1,200 to go 20 or 30 miles offshore. How much demand destruction? Now, here's the other big one, diesel. We talked about this yesterday. We have, what, 3 weeks of diesel inventory on the East Coast of America right now? What happens when that runs out?
Or what happens? I mean, yeah, what happens when a pipeline bursts? I mean, I remember living in Nashville a handful of years ago, and they had a pipe burst, I believe, in somewhere in Alabama, and essentially you had no gas for a certain number of states for a period of time. I mean, it doesn't take, we figured out it doesn't take much of a catastrophe anymore to you know, completely change the dynamics and supply chain of portions of the country. I mean, look at the, you know, look at the formula piece, right? You know, that wasn't, you know, that's one plant that makes, you know, 20 to 25% of America, you know, America's formula, right? Which, you know, it's just you've have, you know, the you've got a very slim margin for error, and when you're, you know, you've got 3 weeks of diesel fuel, right? Well, you know, the diesel fuel is what's going to bring the rest of the fuel to your to your local gas station. By the way, so
yeah.
You've got to have the
you
regular diesel fuel.
You won't be able to get
fuel.
The diesel to yeah, the diesel station,
right? You won't get you won't get the unleaded to the diesel station either.
It's a mess, so. And you know they're thinking of well, they're going to tap the reserves. Well, you know, our military runs on diesel. I used to remember working in San Diego. I was in a 20-story building on the 19th floor, and my wife and I lived in a tower downtown for a while. And when those battleships, we could smell. I mean, they were so close to us. We could hear the guys talking on the battleships. You could smell that diesel burning on those battleships, on those destroyers and whatnot, and aircraft carriers, and helicopters flying over and all this and that. Yeah, if you want to break a country, you know, and bring them down militarily and become a third world country where the store shelves are empty and whatnot, diesel is a big deal.
Well, when farmers, I mean, farmers use, you know, that's kind of their lifeline, right? From a you know, tractor standpoint, I mean, there's a, you know, diesel fuel is, you know, arguably more important than, you know, than our unleaded fuel. Because,
well, yeah, because it's the infrastructure.
Right. We've all figured out we can work from home. So if we have to, stay home, right, you know, it's not quite as important as having diesel fuel to get your, you know, to get your goods from point A to point B.
Yeah, the trains. The trains carrying the oil, okay, run on diesel. So it's really, you know, it's really a problem. Okay, it's something that you got to watch, because this could really, the dominoes that could fall from this are not good. Fertilizer stocks set for further gains as China extends export limits. They've been kind of flat recently, but I remain bullish. Nutrien, Mosaic, CF Industries, and the rest, they continue to be big shortages. And you know, you've seen it, they're calling for a global food crisis by the end of this year,
right? I mean, you're going to need higher yields in terms of you know, and otherwise you're going to have to point, you know, create more arable land, which isn't as quick isn't near as quick as say throwing a little extra fertilizer on there, right, and having a better yielding crop. And then natural gas, right, is tied to fertilizer, you know, prices. And you've got, you know, natural gas up, you know, almost 5% today, above the $9 range. I was reading a story where, you know, the futures all the way out to 2020, you know, part of 2023 are above $9 for natural gas. So it's a pretty, I mean, that just tells you that, you know, all of those contracts, you know, for the say the you know, next you know, year, 6 months, right, 8 months, are going to be you know, already going off at you know over $9 from a natural gas standpoint.
Yeah, Cheniere signed a long-term LNG supply deal with Korea. It doesn't even begin until 2026. In other words, they're sold out until 2026, and you got Korea coming in and saying, hey, we're going to lock in a contract now that doesn't even begin. Okay, so now, here's the other one I would say. Beyond Meat signs Kim Kardashian to promote products to her social media army. So she's going to be the new spokeswoman for Beyond Meat. It takes fertilizer to grow Beyond Meat. Beyond Meat is made from pea proteins. Plant-based food, okay, you want to convert over to plant-based foods, fine. You got to have fertilizer to feed the plants. Anyways, Kardashian, let's see if she can. She has 72 million followers on Twitter. She's going to be the chief taste consultant to inspire people to include Beyond Meat in their diets. And she says that her fridge and freezer are fully stocked with Beyond Meat products. I wonder how much they paid her to say that. 72 million followers on Twitter, 313 million followers on Instagram. Wasn't she on the cover of Sports Illustrated here recently on the annual swimsuit issue? Okay, now back to the war on gas. ExxonMobil must face Massachusetts Attorney General climate lawsuit. So all over the world, these big oil companies are being brought before the courts with accusations of misleading people on climate change. So they're a little bit reluctant to spend money on CapEx. So we'll see where this all ends. But it doesn't seem like it's going to end very well. And I just don't see any relief in sight. There's no will. There is no will because it goes against their politics to ramp up energy production here in North America. Instead, they're renewing Chevron's Venezuela license. So we'll dump carbon into the air down in Venezuela. I guess we can't see it from here in the North America. Is that the difference? I don't know. All right, when we come back, the stocks jumping off the page. There are a few. The Dow's now up 172. S&P's up 30, so we kind of got a little wind behind our backs right now. What's doing it? We'll find out when we come back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market does have a little lift under it right now. NASDAQ up 102, Dow up 154, crude oil up 44 cents to 110.21. And once again today, you've pretty much got the same theme in the market. It's commodity stocks. Whether it be shipping those commodities, whether it be producing those commodities, especially energy-related commodities. Let's begin with kind of an ancillary play in all of this. Look at this chart, Barry. America's Car-Mart. C-R-M-T. Now, you know, I think there's a shortage of new cars coming online, and I think they're waiting for kind of this transition to electric vehicles. You drive by these car lots, whether it's Mercedes-Benz, whether it's Chevrolet, whether it's Ford, there's hardly any cars out there on the lot, okay? And they blame supply chain concerns and semiconductors. But for whatever reasons you believe, there's a big shortage of cars to buy. And if you want to buy an electric car and transition over, forget about it. It's hard enough to find a regular combustion engine car. Look at America's Car-Mart. Yesterday and today, it's up another 13.7%. They have 148 used car dealerships in 11 states under America's Car-Mart and Colonial Auto Finance names. So there's a shortage of cars out there.
Yeah, and I was also looking at the average age of vehicles in America. It's high. I think it's highest ever. So, in other words, there is a replacement cycle at some point, right? Coming down the pike at some point. Whether it's, you know, the other thing is, you know, of course, Car-Mart, they sell used cars, and of course, used cars prices have soared. Certainly, since
part of the inflation thing,
right? And so, they're positioned well. I mean, even in this, I can see at some point, right, where, you know, certainly in the truck space, where you're kind of like whenever they went to the clean diesel, you know, a handful of years back. Where your diesel trucks that were prior to that that rollout were worth more because you didn't have to use the DEFT edition and all the other kind of clean pieces of the diesel engine that break down on some of those newer models. But So it's certainly an interesting space to be in, and that's a pretty huge move from a chart perspective. I haven't seen many of those lately.
No, that's definitely counter trend there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know when the day is when all of these ships coming into the harbor are unloading electric vehicles from Mercedes and from Volvo or whoever else, but it ain't happening yet. And there's a bridge to cross there, too, in the transition from the combustion engine, which some states, I think California is going to phase out the combustion. Some countries in Europe have put a timeline, like 2030, no more combustion engines on the road. But in the meantime, I mean, the only one cranking out electric cars, I see Chevy Volt ads, and that car's been a disaster right from the start. And, of course, you've got Tesla. He's
the only one with any scale, really.
Now, here's the guy that's got the right idea. Okay, my office is on the river, and there's a guy going down the river in a skull right now. You know what a skull is? One of these?
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of work. He should have a sign. I ain't paying $6. Forget. I'm rowing to work. I hope he's not going against the tide, because that tide can be pretty fierce. But he's got the right idea. That must be a symbol. That's a sign from God.
That's green energy right there.
I'm going to get a rowboat. All right, the other one here that really catches my eye today, this thing just went public. I really don't know the background on this, but they signed. You know, Finland is being cut off. Okay, Finland is being cut off by Russia. Finland is joining NATO. So, well, that's it. No more gas for you, Finland. So they have turned to a company that's a recent IPO. I don't know if this was all synchronized or what. EE, Accelerate Energy. Put that on your list there, Barry. That could be worth an article, all right? We like to be out in front of the crowd. That's why we're ranked in the top 2%. Accelerate Energy, EE, is a liquid natural gas distribution. I think they're going to build barges. They're going to put barges off of Finland. This is a Texas company. It's headquartered in the Woodlands, Texas, which I've been to many times doing workshops there. We have a lot of clients down in that neck of the woods. That stock's up 8.9% today, and they are the one that – Finland signed a big deal with them. Somebody knew somebody, what can I say? And that stock's doing very well today. Can I throw in one more? We'll throw in one more. CTRA, which we've mentioned before. Kotura Energy breaking out to a new all-time high. Relative strength 99, P.E. ratio of 12. Well, if you want to put us to work for you, it doesn't matter. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you know, I have my subscriptions and my newsletters and my live trades that I send out during the day. I'll be working right up to the close of the market every day, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I look at my A-plus list, momentum, my B-plus grades are better. I have my little private reserve list that I look at. And always looking for new ideas. You know, I want to make sure I'm in the best stocks now at any given point in time. And, you know, we're not overly active, but we're active. When the world changes, you got to change with it. And right now, I mean, coming to the top of all of this is energy-related stuff. When 2 years ago, energy was the worst place to be. It went negative. Oil prices went negative during COVID. So as the world turns, you have to turn a little bit with it in the way that you design your portfolios. Don't forget to check out our new article today with our current macro outlook on the S&P 500. You can set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or try out the newsletter for 2 weeks, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.